You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.
Welcome to today's Live Talk. I'm your host, Michelle Gasseau. Today we will be speaking with Hassan Davis, Youth Advocate and Director of Empowerment Solutions. Through his company, Empowerment Solutions, Hassan Davis speaks to organizations striving to create connections among communities and their traditionally disenfranchised populations, particularly young people. Through youth development, active participation in the arts, targeted community building, and public speaking, Hassan Davis addresses issues of youth empowerment, racial, cultural dynamics, arts education, and service learning. He was recently appointed to the Federal Juvenile Justice Advisory Committee. In 2004, he was elected vice chairman of the JJAC. He has served as the chairman of the Kentucky Juvenile Justice Advisory Board since 1999 and is past vice president and a founding board member of the Boys and Girls Club of Madison County. In 2001, he was selected as a Rockefeller Foundation Next Generation Leadership Fellow. And in 2002, he was hired as a consulting co-manager of the Next Generation Leadership Program. He received his Juris Doctor from the University of Kentucky and a bachelor's degree from Berea College. Today, he will discuss juvenile justice programming and the needs of the juvenile population. So welcome to today's Live Talk, Mr. Davis.
Thank you, Michelle. How are you?
We're very good today. Happy to have you here. We wanted to talk a little bit about effective programming for juveniles today, but can you first tell us a little bit about who those juveniles are coming into the juvenile justice system these days?
I can try and give you a broad picture. I think that one of the things some of the things that we see with young people coming to the juvenile justice system today is that there are a lot more emotional issues, or at least we're acknowledging, we're starting to have the tools to really identify mental health issues, social adjustment issues, and a lot of these, you know, stem from early family problems or community problems. A lot of looking at truancy now. OJJDP just did a big truancy conference, but it's amazing how you start to look at kind of the continuum, and most of these young people have started out with very treatable health issues that gone undealt with that lead to truancy, lead to criminality, lead to the system itself. So in a broad scope, we kind of have this group of young people that are in crisis and aren't receiving the services coming into the system. But violent crimes are down for the most part. We're seeing more girls in the system. Disproportionate minority confinement or contact issues are still a big part of it. But I think that overall, you know, young people are still young people dealing with all those challenges and trying to find a way to be, you know, themselves and in a world that's changing really quick.
Right. What have been some of your experiences with successful programs related to leadership, the arts? I know that you talk a lot about this, and you have some experience with that.
I do. As an artist, I'm a performer and a writer professionally, and have spent a lot of time working to develop a set of tools I call staging success. And with young people, what I've noticed going into schools and detention settings and kind of the whole range is that they have this real desire to be heard, to be seen. I mean, I think when we grew up, it was always children should be seen and not heard. Mm-hmm. They should be kind of told what to do. And our children today are so much more sophisticated that the tools that they need to really interact with the world, they need to be really engaged. They need to have the opportunity to express what's on their mind, to feel like they're a part of what's going on. And so I really construct using writing tools and theater and drama tools that I use, ways to help young people really express those things. And once you get them out into the open, then we as professional caregivers and adults, parents, you know, start to have tools that we can actually use to move them towards some success because we've kind of worked out a roadmap. And so I use those artistic tools and to really reach their potential and help us as adults understand where it is we have to go in order to really connect with them to move them forward.
Juveniles, in most cases, are going right back into their communities once their time and is incarcerated is over. Mm-hmm. What would you say are some of the more effective methods that reach out to those juveniles while they are in detention and get them back on the right track right before they leave?
I think that, I'll tell you, Michelle, I had an opportunity to meet with one of the Boys and Girls Club directors and national trainers recently on looking at some gang prevention issues. Mm-hmm. And they've started to do something interesting, even with the Boys and Girls Club, developing Boys and Girls Club environments inside of juvenile detention settings so that young people can get a Boys and Girls Club card, they can go for a few hours a day to rec and some of those traditional things in their communities, so that when they start to get mainstream back into the population of their communities, they have this connection, this identity with the group of very positive peer culture, positive adult mentors who reach out to them and say, hey, welcome home. Boys and Girls Club is just like it was where you were, and we're ready to help you continue to be successful. And I think that's what communities need to start doing. We need to embrace the idea that, one, they always do come back. It's not like they disappear.
Right.
And I always say we disappear because I was one of those young people. But we come back, and to be shunned instead of embraced and told that you're valuable, we want to find a way to make you a part of our success, really does limit the possibility of them staying out of the system.
And it sounds like help. You know, finding some sort of link in the community is a part of that, too.
Absolutely, absolutely. Family connections, and sometimes they don't have those strong family connections, but good mentors. I mean, the churches have always been great at finding ways to connect young people with adults who care. Intergenerational programs with retired folks I've seen work really well because they're two groups of people who really need something that the others can really help with.
If you're just joining us, we're talking to Hassan Davis about juvenile justice programming. I wanted to get back to what you were just talking about, some of the different approaches that are being done, and I was just wondering if you could sort of elaborate a little bit more on what you think has been successful recently, or what is maybe some of the tried and true approaches you were mentioning, faith-based organizations and churches and in the community. What do you think are some of the more successful things that are being tried right now?
Well, I think the faith base has always been kind of a cornerstone of community building. We've always had that church or that synagogue or that mosque to go to where, you know, the foundation. But a lot has changed with community organizations that step in. And I think that what I've seen as an artist, I've worked on artist councils and arts rosters for different states, but I've actually seen a really interesting connection where artists in communities who do after-school programming have really started to develop this connection with these populations of young people too. And you know, one of the things that I've noticed with the arts, and I'll say, is that the statistics, when you look at art as a continuing explicit part of a young person's development, whether it's music or drama or dance or writing, the statistics show clearly that there's a reduction in criminality, recidivism rates go down, educational aspirations go up. Across the board, when young people succeed with creative endeavors, artistic things, things you can't really lose at, which is what our young people need a lot of times, that one success to help them believe that they can succeed. When they start to have those artistic engagements and really feel like they've created something, they start to see the value in other people. And I think that when we look at kind of the hierarchy of needs, you get to that point where you can value yourself and you can start to value other people.
That's a great point. Sort of my final questions today have to do with what juvenile agencies are facing right now in terms of budget cuts and trying to make decisions about what programs they fund.
Yeah.
What are some of the things you might say to agency operators and directors about the importance of keeping some of these programs that we've just been talking about for youth?
I think that it's necessary. It's not even an option, in my opinion, and that's just one man's opinion. Cutting these programs, and of course, when we look at the data, these are the first things that go, recreation, arts, those types of programs. But those are the things that are really the cornerstones of success for young people in crisis. And if there's a way to really engage, and what I suggest is starting to look for very unusual partnerships.
Mm.
Here in Kentucky, we've developed, the Kentucky Arts Council has developed a series of programs where they actually do mini-grants, kind of fast-pass grants that don't have to go through as much review, specifically for juvenile facilities and artists, so that if you want an artist to come in, not just for one day, but for a week or a month, and really engage young people in some new creative ways to look at themselves and their surroundings, then you have the money there to really try something different. And so looking at arts councils, looking at community foundations, looking at partnering with churches, to really do different things, because the money, it's not there. We know that. But the programs are necessary, and there are people out there who believe in them enough that we can still get the work done.
That's a really great point. Well, that concludes today's live talk. Thank you again to Hassan Davis for joining us today discuss this topic.
My pleasure. We're
very happy to have you. Also, thank you to our audience for tuning in. To learn more about programming for juvenile offenders, be sure to read this week's articles on the Corrections Connection at www.corrections.com. For CCNN, I'm Michelle Gasso.
You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.